Okay, Perek Chav Gimel Pasik Chav. We finished basically the mitzvahs of Mishpatim, which was a lot of mitzvahs. Now the Pasik is going out of sequence, basically. And the Pasik begins by saying as follows. Hinei Anechi Shaleach Malach Lefanecha. Hashem is speaking now about the Jews going into Eretz Yisrael. Hashem says, as Rashi says, Hashem is telling the Jews basically that they're going to be sinning. Because they're going to be sinning, Hashem says, I am not going to go myself to lead you into Israel. I'm going to send an angel instead of me. So it says, I'm going to send an angel before you, to protect you, but on the way, because there were a lot of the nations and a lot of the people in the Midbar that wanted to destroy the Jewish people. To bring you, to the place that I have made ready. Says a few interpretations. Says, what does it mean? The simple meaning of the pasuk is, as Rashi says, Hashem says, I'm going to take you to the place that I prepared for you, meaning Eretz Yisrael. The Medrash says, Rashi quotes, that what does it mean? That this is one of the psukim that say that the Beis HaMikdash Shalamata, the temple down here in Yerushalayim, is equal mechuvin keneged Yerushalayim shalmaila. Meaning Hashem says, there's a temple in heaven, and I'm going to build the temple on earth opposite the temple in heaven. So that's the deeper explanation of the pasuk. But the Mefarshim explain an interesting concept. Nowhere in Chumash, does the Torah speak about the Beis HaMikdash. What the Torah always says is, you look throughout Chumash, when the Torah speaks about bringing Korbanis or whatever it is, the Torah says, I'm going to bring you ala mokem ashi yivcher Hashem, to the place that God chooses. It doesn't say anywhere, I'm going to bring ala mikdosh. It basically always speaks about ala mokem ashi yivcher Hashem. Look in Sheftim and Kiseitze, any of the psukim, the Paz Vekamta Valisa, the Torah says you have a dispute. Vekamta Valisa Lamokam Sheyivchar Hashem. Hashem is going to bring you always to the place which He chose. So the Amefoshim that say, why Taka doesn't the Pasuk use the expression Yerushalayim? Nowhere in Chumash does it say Yerushalayim. The only hint to it is earlier in Chumash, in Parshas Lech Lecha, it says Malki Tzedek Melech Shalem. So Rashi says he was the king of Yerushalayim. But in Chumash it doesn't say anywhere Yerushalayim. Basically, the place that Hashem chose. So they bring down from the brother, the Malmi Prague, he says, but the Pasuk is saying basically that the place God goes to is wherever you let Him in. Wow. In other words, the place that Hashem chose, is the place where you let Him in. It doesn't have to be Yerushalayim. In a spiritual sense. In fact, Tesis in the Gemara says that your word Yerushalayim comes in the word Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim comes two words, Yerushalayim, which means complete level of Yira, complete level of fear. When a person has a complete level of fear, that's the place where Hashem comes to. Like the famous story that the guy asked, where is God? He asked somebody, where is God? And he answered, wherever you let Him in. So that's why the Pasuk also over here says, Ala Malkim Asharachinesi, to the place which I prepared. So the Pasuk continues and says, now that I'm sending a Malach, so a Jew will think, yeah, it's not God, it's only an angel. So why do I have to listen to the angel? You know, he's not God. So the Pasuk says, Yishamer Mipanav, beware of him. Shema Bekele, listen to his voice. Al Tamer Be, don't rebel against him. Why? Ki Lo Yisa Lepishachem, because he will not forgive your sin, kishmi bekirbe, because my name is within him. Meaning, he says, this is from the malachim that don't sin. So angels b'chal, generally speaking, angels don't sin. So this angel is not used to sin. So Hashem says, you better not sin because he can't tolerate it. He's not used to sinning, of people sinning. So he says, you better not rebel against him because my name is within him. And it says in the Medrash, Shemazi quotes it, that's the name of Matetrun, that the Gemara says his name is Matat, which his name is like the name of God, because it says, the Medrash says, that the Malach Matat, in Rashi, if you look in Rashi, quotes the name Matatritin, is the numerical value of the word Kel Shaddai. Kel Shaddai is 331, 341, 341, 345. And Kel Shaddai equals, and the Matatrin also equals 345. Huh? It's the test, basically. Yeah, but it's 240, sure. 300 and 19 and 6 is 25. No, and 45, no, it's right. It's 345. So therefore, the Hashem says, listen, my name, and Bechal, it's interesting, all the Malachim, Michal, Gavriel, Raphael, all end with Aleph Lamed at the end, which is God's name. So every Malach really has Hashem's name in it. So he says, you better not rebel against him, because my name is within it. What does it mean, the Shmi Bikirbei? A Malach, and by the way, this refers to any Shliach, because in Rashi and Chumash, we find in Chumash, Moshe Rabbeinu sent Malachim. Or Yaakov sent, Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim. Malachim means messengers. A malach, an angel of God, is called a malach because he's a messenger of God. And the din is that a shliach, the messenger of somebody, is like the person himself. So when Hashem is sending a malach, Hashem warns, you better be careful, because disrespecting the malach, you're basically disrespecting God. We learned before in the Psukim, in the laws of court, of Beis Din, if a Beis Din sends the shliach Beis Din, Bezin sends the court-appointed agent to summon somebody to court, and they make fun of him, or they don't listen to him. It's like you didn't listen to the court itself. And the court will punish you as if you didn't listen to the court. Why? Because a messenger of the court is the court. A messenger of Hashem is Hashem. So the Pasuk says he's not going to tolerate Pishachem, but in fact the Mefarshim point out also that the word Pishachem over here, like we said, refers to intentional, negligent sins. There's Chet, there's Ovein, there's Pesha. We say in Davening, Slach lanu v'ini kichotonu, mechal lanu malkeinu kifashanu. And Yom Kippur we say, Avisi, Chatasi, Avisi, Pashaiti. These are not sin. They're different levels of sin. Chet is an accidental sin. Pesha comes the word pshia, which is negligence, which is the ultimate level of a sin. That's the worst sin, is pshia. So he says, what he won't tolerate is negligent sins. Open rebellion against him, he's not going to tolerate in any way whatsoever.
I thought the angels, since they don't have freedom of choice, they don't sin, right? Angels can sin,
as a rule, angels don't sin. What's interesting over here, Matat did sin. There's a story in the Zayat, Matat did something wrong, and Afkula Matat, I mentioned this before in the class, he took out Matat.
That's the one who was trying to get the Jews from the...
And they whipped him. Matat did an Aveda, and they whipped him. So, there's a Maimon from the Rebbe Marash, he explains, how can an angel do an Aveda if he has no free choice? So he can't do anything wrong. And yet the Matat did something wrong, and they took him and they beat him up. So he answers, because Matat was a person at one time, and then he became an angel. So the fact that at one time he was Chaneich. It says, Vayisala Chaneich Solekim, Vaynenu, and God took him away. It says in the Zohar that the person Chaneich became the Malach Matat. So because he was once in the Shama in the world, so then when he became a Malach, he still had a little free choice left over from when he was a person down here. And therefore it was possible for him to do something wrong, and therefore they whipped him for it. The same thing, you have an interesting thing. It says, everybody knows what the Gemara says, the Medrash says, different, the Gemara and Zayah is contradicting. Pinchas Zeh Eliyahu. Pinchas is Eliyahu Navi. Yeah? So there's a question asked, what do you mean Pinchas Zeh Eliyahu? Pinchas was first. So it should say Aliyah is a Pinchas. He says Pinchas is Aliyah. It's not true. Aliyah is Pinchas. Pinchas was first. Hundreds of years later was Aliyah. So what should you say? Aliyah is Pinchas. And there are places in Chazal where it says Aliyah is a Pinchas. But in certain places it says Pinchas Aliyah. So how can you say Pinchas Aliyah? So the Rebbe brings down from places that it says, because Pinchas, before Pinchas was born, he was a Malach Aliyah. So Aliyah was a Malach, he became Pinchas, and then he became Aliyah again. So it says in Kabbalah that Pinchas, before he was Pinchas, was Taka Aliyah Navi, a Malach. So then he became Aliyah, and then he became Pinchas, and then he became Aliyah again. So it says Pinchas Aliyah, because he was there from before.
Somebody come here and make a good deal sometimes.
With what? For Pinchas to come down wasn't so bad.
Another angel one time you said that he sinned also. The guy, the angels that was trying to get the Avraham Avinu when they went to Lot.
Right. And they banned them for X amount of years.
They have physical forms? You said they would.
A Malach, when need be, could take upon a physical form.
In a body.
Hashem could send them down. Hashem can send them down into a physical body. In fact, we mentioned there's a story in the Zohar. It's brought down the Chassidus. I don't think I study Zohar. I don't study Zohar. It's brought down the Chassidus. No, it's not true. It says, listen, there's a story in the Zohar. There was a yeshiva in the mountains of Tzvas called the Idra, where Rashbi had a yeshiva. It was called the Idra. There was the Idra Rabba and Idra Zuta. There was the big yeshiva and there was a little yeshiva. And the Zohar says that Eliyahu HaNavi used to come every day to the Idra to learn with the Tanoim, with the Tzaddikim. And one day Eliyahu HaNavi didn't come. So the next day when he came back to yeshiva, they asked him for a note, you know, where were you? So,
come to learn or to help to learn?
No, it came to learn. Tonit ve'eliyahu. Pasach Eliyahu v'yamad. Where did Eliyahu say it? In the yeshiva. So they said to him, they said, where were you yesterday? So Eliyahu Navi answered, Rav Hamnuna Sava. There's an old Rav Hamnuna, very great Kabbalist in the time of Rashbi. Rav Hamnuna Sava, the old Rav Hamnuna, was in danger. And Eliyahu HaNavi had to come into the world to save him. And he couldn't be two places at the same time. That's what the Zohar answers. That's what Eliyahu HaNavi answered. So Chassidus, in the previous Rebbe's Maimer, asks the question, what do you mean? Eliyahu HaNavi comes to every bris. Eliyahu HaNavi comes to every seder. Eliyahu HaNavi could be a million places at the same time. What do you mean all of a sudden he can't come in two places at the same time? So the answer, and Chassidus' answer is, because to save Rav Hamnuna Sava, Eliyahu HaNavi had to come down into a body. That was the mission, he had to come into a body. Once he comes into a body, he cannot be in two places at the same time. So therefore, if he saved Rav Hamnuna, he couldn't come to the yeshiva. When Eliyahu HaNavi comes to Avi Bris, he comes to the Seder, he comes whenever it is, Eliyahu HaNavi is not coming into a body. And as a neshama, as a malach, he could be anywhere.
Isn't angels a whole bunch of neshamas? Angel is
general. No, angel is not the neshama.
Oh, he's not.
Angel is much lower than a neshama. A neshama originates in Atzilus, in the highest world. A malach, the higher malachim, like the gang, malach, Gavriel, Michal, those the higher angels, are in the world of Bria, some are on the level of Yetzirah. There are some malachim that are existing for a long time. There are a lot of malachim do a mission, and it's over. That's it. It's not that they don't exist anymore. How many angels are there? So there's two psukim, and the Gemara Chagiga asks a contradiction between the two. One pasuk says, Elef alafim v'ribei revavik kadmuni. Okay? Meaning, there's 10,000 angels serving me. Which means 1,000 times 1,000 is a million. 10,000 times 10,000 is probably a billion. So, but the Gemara asks, but in another pasuk it says, that there is no amount of angels. So the Gemara answers, the 10,000, 10,000, you know, 1,000, that's the amount of Gedud Echad. That's one group. One group is that amount. How many groups are there? Ein Mispar. There's no count. So there's infinite amount of angels. But in Kabbalah and Chassidus it says, certain angels are existing for a long time. You don't know the spiritual existence. And some malachim are coming and going. If they're there, they do a mission, and they're over. The difference between a malach and a neshama, we learned many times, a neshama is infinitely greater than a malach. Infinitely greater than a malach. To the extent that it says if there's 10 Jews sitting in a room, doing absolutely nothing, just 10 Jews sitting in a room, not killing each other, they're just doing, let's get practical, doing nothing, the Kedusha is so great that a malach plots as a malach bursts. It's too much Kedusha for an angel to handle. So malachim are messengers of God, but they are nowhere near the spiritual level of neshamas.
So when a neshama passes, do they become malachim?
No, they remain neshama, which is even greater than a malach.
Only
the... By Pinchas and Leo is a different story. The body became a malach. The neshama is infinitely... When a person passes away, they don't become a malach. There's greater than a malach.
The body became a malach.
Why? Because Hashem wanted him to. But the kedusha of a malach is nowhere near the kedusha of a neshama.
So they say, Rabbi Amar, but Moshe Rabbeinu was the Ishmael Kim.
But not a malach, half malach, half God and half person, not a half malach. That's why when the malachim said we want the Torah, Hashem said no, because a neshama is much greater than a malach. So nevertheless, the pasuk says, listen, Hashem says to the Jews, because you're going to sin, I'm not going to take you into Eretz Yisrael. You're going to have a malach take you into Eretz Yisrael, but you better listen to him. And he says like this in pasuk Chav Beis, 4:38. Kim Shemaya Tishma Bekele, if you will listen to his voice, V'asisa kol asher adaber, and you will do everything that I tell you. V'ayafti yaseivecho, Hashem says, then I will destroy your enemy, or literally means, I will be the enemy of your enemy, meaning Hashem will hate your enemies, and I'll persecute your persecutors. So basically he says, what does it mean, Oyev and Sarti? Similarly, it means the same thing. So the Mefarshim explain that Oyev and Tzered are two different things. Oyev is an enemy in the heart, and Seder is the guy who actually does bad. Like Haman was called Ish Tzad V'Oyev. Haman was both. Seder are Yehudim, it says in the Megillah. Haman, not only did he hate Jews in the heart, he actually brought it out into action. So Seder, it means one who persecutes the Jews. Oyev means a person could be a wonderful guy, but he hates you in the heart. So Hashem says, whether it's this type of enemy or that type of enemy, Hashem says, I know who the enemies are, and I will act accordingly to deal with those enemies. Okay, now, so the Mefarshim explained like this. What is Hashem saying? That a malach has no will of its own, a malach has no opinion of its own, a malach is doing what Hashem wants him to do. Therefore, any good that you're going to get from the malach is if you listen to my voice. Any bad you'll get from the malach is because you didn't listen to my voice. So therefore, you have to be, my name is within him, and you have to behave properly. Okay, so now he says like this, Ki yelech malachi lefanecha, my angel will go before you, v'aviachani will bring you to the land of Emeri, Chiti, Prizi, Knani, Chivini, Vusi. These are the six of the seven nations. V'chaditiv, and I will annihilate them. I mean, I will destroy them. I will get rid of them. V'chaditiv is not one of the nations. It's the sixth nation. So Rashi asks, the Medrash has, Rashi calls the Medrash, there were seven nations. There was one nation called Girgashi. So why isn't Girgashi mentioned? No, because they ran away.
Oh.
Huh? They ran away. All the other nations stayed there. But like you see, he brings down from Nebuchadnezzar, Chizkuni, and the English. Imagine, because they were the smallest and least significant, or, this is the more accepted one, that from Rabbeinu Bechaya, that they actually ran away than to face the Israeli armies. So therefore they're not mentioned, because Hashem is not going to have to drive them, to destroy them, they automatically ran away by themselves. Now these seven nations, six nations, seven nations, whatever, represent not only the seven physical nations, but it actually refers to these, it symbolizes seven bad midas that the Jews have to get rid of. La'asid lavei, it says in the Pasuk, that ki'archev Hashem lakechaz gvulcha, when Hashem will broaden your boundaries. And then it says that Hashem will conquer the three more nations, Keni, Knezi, and Kadmeini. So it's interesting. In Eretz Yisrael, there were seven nations that we know, the land of Shiva, the Shiva Mammon, the seven nations that the Jews conquered. La'asid Lavi says, when Mashiach comes, the Pasuk later on in Devarim says, Hashem is going to conquer Keni, Knezi, and Kadmeini. So in a spiritual sense, it's not only seven nations versus ten nations. Why are there seven evil nations and three evil nations? And why is there a separation between the three nations and the seven nations? So explanation is, the seven nations represents the seven bad midas. Just like we have seven midas of Kedusha. Chesed, Gvur, Teferes, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, Malchus. So you have Zelo, Umar, Ze, Osa, Lekim. God made one opposite the next. Anything that you have in Kedusha, you have in evil. So therefore Hashem created seven midas rois, seven bad midas. When the Jews came into Eretz Yisrael, the Jews conquered the seven midas. The three evil intellectual levels, which are higher than the emotional levels, the Jews did not have the ability to conquer them, because that much evil, the Jews did not have the ability to eradicate. Until Mashiach comes, will be Ruach HaTumah Avim Min HaAretz, then even the three levels of intellect, the Chochmah, Bin, and Das, of evil, Keni, Knezi, and Kadmeini, will also be eradicated. But until the coming of Mashiach, a Jew only has the ability to transform the seven bad nations and make it from that into Eretz Yisrael. But Keni, Knezi, Kadmeini, they don't have the ability to elevate yet.
All Jews, or
what
about...
One
sec, Question. If the Jews have to destroy all the seven nations, and one is run away and was not destroyed, it's not it can become a problem?
No, because the fear of the Jews caused in such a way that they didn't even have to fight it. It left, they elevated it by itself. It ran away, ran out of the country.
They got scared.
That's why the mitzvah was le'sechaya called neshama. You can't let any one of the seven nations stay alive, because when it comes to the concept of evil, you cannot let any evil remain. I mean, to use a medical example, when you want to get rid of cancer, and there's one cancerous cell left, God forbid, you get rid of all the others, and you leave one cancerous cell, then it rejuvenates itself, and God forbid, who knows what can happen. You have to make sure that there's no evil left. In fact, in medical world, they do be above and beyond that. They even take off from the side areas.
The
borders, they take off the side areas too, because once you leave over any level of evil, that you can't do. This explains, one second. This explains an unbelievable concept. We explained it in different classes. I don't know if we explained it in this class. But there's a very famous story in Chumash which speaks about the seven nations, that if you learn it on a child's level, doesn't make sense. Mamashen, a child's level doesn't make sense. And yet, when you understand it in the proper perspective, it's unbelievable. There's a story in Chumash called the Meraglim, the spies. Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Hashem in the name of the Jews, and he says, we want to send spies to Eretz Yisrael. So Hashem says at the beginning of Parsha Shlach and Bamidbar, Shlach Lecha Anoshim. You send people. So Rashi says, what does it mean you send? Ani eina metzava eischa. Hashem says, I'm not commanding you to do it. You want to do it? Do it. I'm not telling you to do it. That's what the pasuk says. Shlach lecha, you send, I'm not telling you to send. What does Moshe Rabbeinu do? He sends. He sends the spies. And it backfires, as everybody knows. They ended up in the Midbar 40 years. Stop the thing for 1 second. If Hashem would tell you, listen, I'm saying no. You want to do it, do it. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to do it? Hashem says to him, I'm not commanding you to do it. Moshe Rabbeinu is such a tzaddik. If Hashem's commanding, you should tell the Jews, forget it. Not Moshe Rabbeinu, not like this. Moshe Rabbeinu argued with Hashem. When Hashem spoke bad about the Jews, he said, hey, take it easy, don't destroy the Jews. But Hashem says to him, I'm not commanding you to. If you want to do it, go do it. I'm saying no. So why in the world should Moshe Rabbeinu do it? And then you find another thing. These Meraglim backfired. Yeah. Comes Yeshua in the Haftarah of Parsha Shelach. Yeshua sends 2 spies to Yericho. And they were very successful. They came back and they themselves conquered cities. Against the So the question is, Moshe Rabbeinu's Meraglim failed. Why is Yeshua sending? What's going on over here? It doesn't make sense. So explanation is unbelievable. In the service of Avedas Hashem, there's what's called the Tzaddik, and there's what's called the Beinoni. Mm-hmm. So whoever learns Tanya knows, yeah, that Rebbe explains like this. What is a Beinoni? A Beinoni is one that has a Yetzer Hara in full steam. Total Yetzer Hara. But he doesn't sin, not in thought, not in sin, not in speech, and not in action. But he's not a tzaddik. Why isn't he a tzaddik? Because a tzaddik is one that kills the Yetzer Hara. Like it says by David HaMelech, Libi cholod bekirbi, and the Gemara says in Brachis, She'en lo Yetzer Hara ki horgi betainis, he killed it by fasting. And a tzaddik, that's a tzaddik she'en a gomor. Tzaddik gomor is one that not only kills the Yetzer Hara, but transforms the Yetzer Hara into a Yetzer Tov. Like the Gemara says, if you have to say Shem Alakecha b'chol levavcha, it doesn't say libcha. What's the 2 vases? B'shnei Yetzerecha. So a Beinoni is a guy that doesn't sin. That means, in action, he's mamash like a tzaddik. That, you know what it means? No evil thought, no speech, which is a sin, and no,
he doesn't have even thought. He has even thought that he doesn't
sin. A Beinoni has a very strong Yetzer Hara. He just doesn't listen to it. Why? Because Moach Shalat al Alev, the mind controls the heart. He understands it's wrong.
Who can be Beinoni? Can you give us an example?
I can give you an example. Who's not a Beinoni? I can tell you who's not a Beinoni.
In the Bible, for example, who was Beinoni?
In the Chumash Tzadikim.
Only tzaddikim, there's no Beinoni.
Anyway, 1 second. Let's not get into let's not get personal now. Who's who? Now, one thing I tell you who it's not.
Who's who?
Is it a good thing to be a Beinoni?
Are you kidding?
One.
So in Tanya says like this. Vini midas habeinoni. He midas habeinoni. This is what he says. Shah. Midas habeinoni, imidas kol adam, v'achareya kol adam yimshech, shekol adam, v'chol eis, v'chol shah, yachol yis beinoni. The Alter Rebbe says like this, a beinoni is the obligation of every Jew. Every person should try to be a beinoni, because a beinoni is possible within the reach of every single Jew. Why? Because he says, ki a beinoni ein ameyiz bera. Because a Beinoni doesn't despise evil. He doesn't destroy the Midas Rois. He just doesn't listen to it. And the logic, forget about the simple logic. If Hashem gives us a mitzvah, we have the strength to do it. If not, he wouldn't give us. The Gemara says an expression, Eina Kodesh Baruch Hu Ba Betrunya Im Bir Yosef, which means, God does not demand from a person more than the person could do. Any parent who demands from their children more than the kids could do, they're retarded. If a cheap teacher demands from a kid more than the kid could do, they're not normal. Hashem demands from a Jew whatever they're able to do. If Hashem gave every Jew 613 mitzvahs, every Jew is given 613 mitzvahs, that means, in a practical level, it's possible. Nothing is easy. It's possible to be a person who keeps all 613 mitzvahs. Because if a guy can't, then Hashem wouldn't give it to you. And if Hashem gave us every Jew all 613 mitzvahs, means every Jew could be a Beinoni. One second. Let me finish the point. Every Jew could be a Beinoni. Not every Jew could be a tzaddik. Yet, Tanya begins with the Gemara, the famous Gemara Nida. Means before the neshama comes into the world, we give it an oath. You should be a tzaddik and not a rasha. And then it's a filu kula ilam kula emin alach tzaddik ata. Even if everybody tells you a tzaddik, haye beinacha karasha. And not that I've been discussing a lot, but let's get to this point. A person is born a tzaddik. Therefore, Eve, with the ability to be a tzaddik, mean not every Jew. Eve said to Hashem, "Berasa tzaddikim, berasa rishayim." The Gemara says that Eve said to God, "God, you created tzaddikim, you created rishayim." So he said, "What?" That's all the mafashim. The Gemara asks, "What do you mean, God created the tzaddik? It's free choice. Hakobi de shemayim, chutz miyira shemayim. Everything is in the hand of God except fear. Free choice we have." So the question, "What do you mean, God created a tzaddik?" We don't have free choice. Mm-hmm. What's the answer? A tzaddik is taka. Not every person could be a tzaddik. A person who's a tzaddik has a unique power that he was given from birth to he tzaddik, that he could be a tzaddik. You and I cannot be tzaddikim. You have to be born with the ability to be a tzaddik. Not every person could be a tzaddik. Every person has to be a Beinoni, meaning not to sin in thought, speech, and action, but to conquer the Yetzer Hara, meaning to kill the Yetzer Hara, to elevate the Yetzer Hara. Not every Jew is born with that ability. Very few Jews, in fact. The Gemara says, there are very few tzaddikim, because to be born with the ability to be a tzaddik, that is a God-given gift. One second, let me just finish the point. So a Beinoni, in thought, speech, and action, every Jew could be. A tzaddik, to kill the Yetzer Hara, that you can't be. Nevertheless, it's brought down that even though not every person could be a tzaddik, you have to strive to become a tzaddik. And if you try hard enough, it says, Hashem will give you, what's called Bechinas Ibor, in an additional pregnancy state, the neshama of another tzaddik. If Hashem says you're really trying to be a tzaddik, Hashem says, I'm going to give you a neshama of a tzaddik, then you will be able to be a tzaddik. But Hashem says, you're not commanded to be a tzaddik. You're commanded to be a Beinoni. You're not commanded to be a tzaddik. So when it comes to, now we can understand what happened with the Meraglim, in a spiritual sense. What was the job of the Meraglim? To conquer Eretz Yisrael. Hashem says, that job of conquering the Yetzer Hara, Hashem says, I can't command you to do it, because not every Jew can do it. So Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Ani einem mitzavos eisach. I can't command you to conquer Eretz Yisrael, because to conquer this Sheva Midas, the Midas of the Nefesh HaBamis, of the Yetzer Hara, that you have to be born with a special ability. So Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, listen, I can't command you to send Meraglim to conquer Eretz Yisrael. But Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, with himself, whatever, he says, yes, granted, but we got to try.
I
want to
show you.
We got to try. So that's why Hashem wasn't against the Meraglim. Hashem says, I can't command you to do something that you cannot necessarily do. But try Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm going to try. What happened? Itaka failed. Because not every Jew could do it. What happened? What happened with Yeshua? Yeshua sent to the city of Yericho. He says in Kabbalah, Yericho comes from the word Reach. Reach, it says in the Gemara, there's a Yanuka that said to one of the great rabbis, this baby, said to one of the great rabbis, by the smell of your clothing, I was able to tell you didn't read the Shema yet. So Reach refers to Machshava Dibur HaMaisa, the garments. Machshava Dibur HaMaisa. So Yericho, which is not the midas, the attributes of the Nefesh HaBamis, but it refers to Machshava Dibur HaMaisa, that every Jew could do. So that's why Yeshua sent spies to Yericho, in a spiritual sense, symbolizing the conquering of thought, speech, and action, that every Jew is successful. That every Jew could do. To conquer Eretz Yisrael, Hashem said that I can't command you.
Rabbi, I'm going to interrupt you and I'm going to tell you. You are a tzaddik. Everybody who walks into the shul, Monday.
But do me a favor. I know, but don't tell anybody. Don't publicize. I am.
Everybody would say you are a tzaddik.
I know.
If you're able,
but don't publicize it.
I'm a hidden tzaddik.
I'm a hidden tzaddik. I'm a hidden tzaddik. Don't tell everybody.
I'm a hidden tzaddik.
Right? 1 second. Right? You were first.
Thank you, Lita.
Thank you. What?
Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have the...
He did, but he was sending the Meraglim to do it. Not the Meraglim, even though they were kosher people at the time, they didn't necessarily have the ability, as representing the Jewish people, the entire Jewish people, to conquer the evil of the Yetzer Hara. That they couldn't do. And that's why Hashem said, I can't command you to do something you're not able to do.
So why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu do it?
He did send, because he said, we got to try anyway. Let's try it. What?
I like my wife's question. I'd like to make an adjunct to it a little bit.
Adjunct?
A
segue. Adjunct.
Adjunct? Okay, no.
Go ahead, John. What'd you do to him, Lita?
It's clear that Hashem gave us numerous tzaddikim in history that we can look up to. Right? But if we, as the majority, 99% of the Jewish people, cannot really be a tzaddik, we don't have a clear picture of what a Benoni is. Why do we name her question is very low? Who is a Benoni?
A Benoni, they tell about many people that they were Benoni. What we call today, what we call in the world today, a very great tzaddik, okay, in the realistic definition of the Gemara, in the realistic, now what we call, there is what's called, in Tanya calls it, there's a Shem HaMushal, there's the descriptive adjective of somebody, and the Shem HaMiti. Okay? In the world at large, a person who does 75% good and 25% bad is a tzaddik. In world language. Okay? A person who does 75% bad and 25% good is called a bad person. 50-50 in human language is called a Beinoni. Okay? Now, if you learn Gemara, and especially with Kabbalah and Chassidus and all the secret, the mystical parts of Torah, do you know according to Halacha, the Gemara says, if you do one Aveda, and this is a law about a witness, right? A witness, an aid is not allowed to be a Rosha. Correct? According to Halacha, if the guy did what?
Is allowed or not?
No. You're not allowed to have Ish Rosh, okay? It says it's possible, you can't have. Now, if a person does one Aveda, until they do tshuva for that Aveda, they're a Rosha. That means they did 999,999 mitzvahs. They did one Aveda. According to Halacha, they are a Rosha until they do tshuva. Now, in our language, that guy is the holiest of the holy. Okay? But in a realistic sense, a Rosh HaVetevle, according to the way Tanya explains the Gemara, and this is clearly in the Gemara, a Rosh HaVetevle, There's a Rosh Hashanah Ali that never does tshuva. Not interested, completely out of it. Okay? A Rosh Hashanah Tevel, you have different levels. One level is a Rosh Hashanah Tevel, sins every so often, regrets it. Okay? But the fact that he could sin, and he does sin, makes him a Rosh. Then you can have a higher level of Rosh Hashanah Tevel. He does one Aveda. One Aveda out of 999,999 mitzvahs, he's still a Rosh, because he sinned. A Beinoni doesn't do one Aveda. So to say that in this world there are Beinonim is also an exceptional. There are not too many Beinonim today, and the true, not in what people call a Beinoni, not in the descriptive adjective, when you say a person is a very good person, doesn't mean they don't do anything wrong. Okay? But we're describing a very good person because most of the time they do good and they do a little bad, but, you know, relatively speaking, they're great people.
So why are we the people of the Mashiach? We're so doomed. I mean, I can't find people who won't do an Avera. Even a Benoni we can't find. So how is that we married to see the time of...
So there's a famous question. If Rabbi Akiva, who lived in the time of Churban Beis HaMikdash, and Abshim Be'yochai, and Reb Yehuda Nasi, and the Rambam, and all those people couldn't bring Mashiach. How in the world are we going to do it? So the answer is very simply. There's a marshal of what's called Nana Sagabi Anak. There's a giant.
And we're sitting on the shoulder.
The giant could see very far, and the midget can't see nowhere. But when you put the midget on top of the giant, the midget can see further than the giant could see. They're giants. We're midgets, midgets, right? But we're standing on the shoulders, or on the heads, because if you stand on the shoulders, we wouldn't even cover the heads. We're standing on the heads of the giants of the previous generations, because like we learned, good is accumulative, bad gets destroyed, bad either tshuva cleanses it, death cleanses it, Gehenim cleanses it, something cleanses. Evil is not accumulative. Kedusha is accumulative. That's number one. Number two, yes, we sin. Yes, we're not as great as them. But we have an advantage that they don't have. It's probably true. We're going to see Mashiach and they didn't. The advantage that we have over them. When it says in the Chumash in Balei Scha, Umeisha Anav Me'ed Mikala Adam Ashal Pnei Adama, Moshe was the most humblest person that ever lived. It says in the Zayar that Umeisha Rabbeinu foresaw the generation right before the coming of Mashiach, meaning us. Umeisha Rabbeinu saw us long distance. He felt inferior. He felt humble compared to us. Why? Because those generations who saw godliness, realized godliness, understood godliness, so when they did mitzvahs, it wasn't mesiras nefesh. It wasn't self-sacrifice. They saw godliness. They saw what they accomplished. But our generation, we don't see anything. And yet, a Jew is willing to do a mitzvah, not seeing any godliness, not seeing any miracles, not seeing any reward that we're going to get from it. And yet, we have Mesiras Nefesh of doing a mitzvah. So that level of Mesiras Nefesh is greater in a certain respect than the Avedas Hashem, than the service of God that the earlier generations did because they saw God. And therefore, there's an expression, if somebody will ask you what's greater, the head or the foot, so obviously the head is greater. But that's not necessarily true. Because if the head needs to get anywhere, it's the foot that's going to take him. Mm-hmm. And if the head wants to jump up, the foot is what gets the head higher, not the head. The foot jumps, and that makes the head higher. And therefore, like we learned many times, if you can imagine, if God would come to a Jew, to the head of the person, and say, I want you to go into boiling hot water. The head is seichel, the head is logic, right? the typical Jew. Does he mean me? Maybe he means somebody else. Maybe I should cool off the water first. Maybe tomorrow I should do it. I mean, Seichel says, are you sure he meant me? Maybe he meant something else. Yeah? So, Mesiras Nefesh is lacking by the head. The foot has no brains. The foot has no brains. Mm-hmm. The foot is told, jump. It jumps. So where is there more bittul to God in our generation, more than the previous generations? Anyway, we got way off the topic, but
I have two questions. If it said in the Yov that Barat Ha'aretz Barat Ha'Rashayim, how can Barat Ha'Rashayim, Kadosh Baruch Hu, create?
So that Rebbe Tanya explains, Barat Ha'Rashayim means he created the people with the ability to do bad acts.
As where is the Beinoni here?
A Beinoni Hashem didn't create. Hashem didn't create a Beinoni. A person and his own free choice could become a Beinoni or not. Hashem doesn't create. That's what I'm saying. The ability to be a tzaddik is not in doing mitzvahs or not. The ability to kill the Yetzer Hara, that you have to be born with. That berots a tzaddikim. To do mitzvahs, that every Jew has the ability.
How you say tzaddik? You cannot command anybody to be tzaddik. He has to be born tzaddik. How you say?
So that's why he says, nevertheless, because there is a shvur given to he tzaddik, a person has to try to be a tzaddik. But the fact is, not every Jew will be. Most Jews, very few Jews, will become a tzaddik.
So what? The tzaddikim that fell from the tree, from the tzaddikut, whatever it is. So what happened to them? They were born tzaddik, but they still fell.
So, tzaddik no gamur. So let me ask you a question: If a tzaddik gamur has no yetzer hara, how could he sin? The Gemara asks the question in Brachas. The Gemara asks the question in Brachas. In fact, about Yechanan Kohen Gadol. Yechanan Kohen Gadol was a Kohen Gadol for 80 years. That means 80 years he went in and out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, of the Holy of Holies. And it says that in the second base of Mikdash, every year was a new Kohen Gadol. Because, in fact, you used to pay money to do it, whatever. Because if you weren't, you used to pull them out with ropes. If you weren't an ultimate holy tzaddik, you did not come out of the Kodesh Kodashim alive. So yet, after 80 years, it's a long time being a Kohen Gadol. And then, he came out alive every year. And afterwards, Natsu Tzeduki became an apikadus. So the Gemara asks, forget Chassidus in Kabbalah, the Gemara asks the question, how is it possible that Yechanan Kohen Gadol could become a Rosh?
Exactly.
So the Machlokes is, if I remember correctly, it's a Bayin Rava. One says, it's possible. And I'll explain how it's possible. And the other answer was, he was once a Rosh Yanai, and then he became a Tzaddik. So like we learned by the Malachim, the same thing, the fact that he was once a Rosh, then he became a Tzaddik, so it's possible to somehow go back to what it was. How could a tzaddik who has no yetzer hara become a rasha? It's a very simple thing. The aveda of a tzaddik, if he has no yetzer hara, like we learned many times, what's his aveda? If he has no yetzer hara, he has no desire to eat chazer. He has no desire to do things that you're not allowed to do. No. The tzaddik's aveda is between good and better.
Yeah.
We learned it many times. The Aveda, the Bechira of a Tzaddik is between good and bad. Better. Because good for a Tzaddik compared to better is bad.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're both good. But on his level is bad. So what happens when a Tzaddik falls down from his level? Instead of doing better, he does good. So now he became connected to evil on his level. That can drag him down to another level, which is more good rather than better. He starts. There's an expression, the Zohar, "Man de nafal midargei ikremis." The Zohar says a person that falls from his level is called mace.
Mm-hmm.
And the mashal that Chassidim give for this from the Zohar is There's two people on a ladder. One's on the 10th step, and one's on the 5th step. Who's higher? So the answer is, it depends which way they're going. If 5 is going up. No, this is a very important concept. Think about it. Somebody will tell you, of course, 10 is higher than 5. It's not true. The Zohar says not like that. Man the nafel midargei, from his darga, is called mace, because if the guy on the 5th step is going up, and the guy on the 10th step is coming down, then the truth is, 5 is higher than 10. So eventually, the tzaddik can acquire, on his level, without the Yetzer Hara, such a level of ra that he can get back a Yetzer Hara.
So you still have the free choice.
Yeah.
Once he's in this world.
But in the free choice is between good and better. But eventually it's possible that a tzaddik can slip and keep slipping until he falls completely.
Acher was a tzaddik?
Sure he was a tzaddik.
So why would you have to give the neshama an oath before he comes here that you won't sin? You know he's going to sin anyway. You know 99.
But Hashem gives us the ability not to sin.
We have
that's our choice.
There is no tzaddik that was not born. So that's we are not.
1 minute.
That means
we sin is not because of God. Let's not blame God for our sins.
No.
We can't blame Hashem for sinning. It's very easy to blame God. God, it's your fault. I sinned. Okay. Yeah. That's also the Rebbe writes. Yeah, was also avoided in the Beis Hamikdash. Now, Hashem says, "I'm giving you the ability, Mashpian. I say, I'm giving you the ability that you shouldn't sin. You chose to sin. That's your problem. Number one. Number two. Let's look at sin from a positive perspective. There is, like we learned many times, there's before the sin, and there's after the sin. Before the sin, Hashem says, I don't want you to sin. After the fact, why did Hashem allow you to sin? Because to do tshuva, go to a higher level.
So the way you explained earlier, you said there's a rasha that sins, doesn't think twice about it. Then there's a rasha that sins and then does the
regrets tshuva. It every so often.
Okay. So basically, that's everyone, unless you're a...
Correct. There's very few Rosh Viralis. Most Roshes are... What we call today a tzaddik is the higher level of Rosh Hashanah.
Let's say a man or a woman wakes up in the morning, davens, does work, goes to shul at night, learns the Torah. On that day, is he a tzaddik?
Did he do some other things?
Depends what else he did.